Hello, welcome to podcast number 2 for Making History. Today's date is April 14th, 2006. You're listening to Mark Scott LaMountain and the Blue Thunder Band. My intro, Blue Thunder Boogie. All right, let's get started. It's been about a month since my first podcast, and I got a lot of positive feedback from my 4 listeners, which include 3 blood relatives and a colleague from Missouri. So we're off to a good start here. Hope to build some listeners with some consistent podcasts between now and the start of the school year, 2006-2007. We'll be probably doing a podcast every couple weeks. But right now, I did recently sell my house, so I'm moving to a new home. So that has been put on the front burner. But I have some things for you that I put together over the past month. I have 4 segments for this particular podcast. Segment number 1, kind of news and notes, things that have been on my radar over the past month. I have some observations about a tech conference I attended where Will Richardson was the featured speaker. I also have some projects in my class that I'm working on that I want to share with you. I had some success with a test process podcast, so I'm really excited about that. And some of the websites that I'm paying attention to, I thought I'd share with you. So all that for podcast number 2. If you're new to this program, Making History, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Rick Hengstrom. I am a high school social studies teacher from upstate New York. Podcasts that I'll be doing are going to feature insights and observations about instructional technology in the 7 through 12 social studies curriculum. If you'd like any additional information about myself or these shows, you can visit my class website at historyshack.com. You can click on blogs and podcasts, or you can reach me via email at rhengstrman@bsc.org. That's rhengstrman at bscsd.org. All right, let's go right in now to a pre-recorded segment, segment number 1. All right, I want to talk about some things that have been in the news that relate to instructional technology, and in particular, podcasting. Something very interesting happened in this Sunday's Schenectady Gazette, the local newspaper here in the Capital District. This is from March 19th, 2006, in the education section, and the headline says, "College is turning iPods into learning tools," and it talks about a liberal arts school in Georgia that now has a whole network of lectures to be downloaded, and this has become the trend. This is going to be commonplace over the next couple years, as common as having email and access to computer networks throughout the campus. You're going to have access to lectures. And the cool thing about this, you can control the content, which is real neat. You can download lectures, and it allows you to go and access the information on your own. I like the idea of having students being in a position where they can access content. The knowledge is there, and they can go after it, they can get it. One example they use is a history professor named Deborah Vess, who asked students to download 39 films to their video-capable iPods so she doesn't have to spend class time screening the movies. And you also have a psychology professor named Nolan White has found a new age answer to Office Hours, a podcast of the week's most asked questions. Pretty creative way to get at the student population. They also mentioned in the article a gentleman named Hank Edmondson, a government professor they call the Podfather. It's pretty amusing. He was one of the first to use iPods to supplement course lectures, and I think that's an important component here. He's supplementing what he's doing in class. A lot of the naysayers and critics of this type of technology will say nothing replaces the interaction between student and teacher, and I'll be the first to defend that very statement. However, nothing can supplement the instruction that you have in class. Being able to access your kids beyond the school hours, beyond the confines of the school wall, so the class and the learning continues, is really the desired goal here. So it looks like the Podfather has that handled. He makes lectures, study programs, indigenous music, thumbnail art, all available for kids that are part of his 3-week study abroad program. So that's pretty cool. Okay, with all the great things happening with iPods and podcasting K through 12, we also have the alternative perspective. We have some critics who have commented on this technology and its appearance on campuses across the country and around the world. And one of the things that's brought up in the article here, and I'll read this little piece to you here, it says, "While iPods can be useful tools for reviewing coursework, some critics argue that donning a pair of earphones is not the same as actively engaging with material in the classroom." And I do agree with that statement 100%. The key word here for them is useful tools for reviewing. I don't think educators, teachers across the country are in any way, shape, or form suggesting that popping in their earbuds and listening to a lecture will replace that essential discussion that happens in class, the interaction between teacher and student. I'm simply using this technology as a vehicle to connect with my students beyond the standard school day. I'm not naive enough to think that my students leave my classroom and all they think about is history. These are adolescents, 16 and 17-year-old kids. They're not skipping down the hall, you know, singing songs about George Washington, counting the minutes till they're forced to be in my class again. However, that being said, with the class webpage, or with downloadable reviews, or with study casts, or with review test process podcast, they can do it on their time. So if the mood strikes them Sunday at 11 o'clock at night, so be it. They have access. All right. Now, it's not going to replace them being in class and going through the material once with me, asking questions and diving into the knowledge there. But same token, if they, like I said, if they're moved and they want access and they want to go pick something up, they can do that. Now, also from the Schenectady Gazette on March 19th in the science section, the headline says, National Parks Reach Out to Impress E-Visitors. And the byline says, Podcasts Among Innovations Aimed at Keeping Lands in Our Consciousness. One of the paragraphs, I want to draw to your attention to this particular article. It says, E-Trips, which mix animation, video, storylines, and scientific facts, are among the many new ways in which national parks and historic sites are seeking to capture the attention of a new generation of stewards and prove themselves relevant to the fast-paced 21st century. Some of these methods, like Ranger Talks for your iPod, take advantage of new technology. Other additions, such as Spanish language video interpretations and snowshoe tours conducted in Spanish, show that the Park Service is trying to reach a more diverse audience. All right, so there we have another example. The National Park Service is tapping into this technology. I had one more. Came in the same Sunday paper. So you heard it here last. The podcast revolution is amongst us. Here we go. It says, Gadgets, listen anytime. More shows are trying podcasting. And a little snippet from this. It says, the variety of podcasts are endless. Addicted to news? Try CBS or CNN podcast. Public radio junkie? NPR offers podcasts of its popular technology shows and All Songs Considered. And recently, networks picked up the power of podcasts with the official podcast for Lost and Commander-in-Chief at abc.com. So, it's among us. This is one example of a Sunday newspaper where three articles all related to the new technology and how it's being used. All right, so hop on board, man. It's here to stay. For this next segment, I want to talk about a tech conference that I attended. I attended the New York State Association for Computers and Technologies and Education. It's basically a nonprofit organization that promotes effective use of technologies. I traveled about an hour and a half south of Albany to Wappingers Falls, and the main reason I went down there was to see the keynote speaker, Will Richardson. Mr. Richardson is a teacher in New Jersey, also an adjunct professor at Seton Hall, I believe. He's written a new book called Blogs, Wikis, and Podcasts. Now, I haven't read this yet. As I mentioned in my first podcast, one of the books I read was David Warlick's Classroom Blogging, and I got turned on to David Warlick because he was invited to speak at our school during a superintendent's conference day. It's rare that you have these keynote players in the tech revolution invited to your school, but our district is a little bit ahead of the curve here. So he was brought in. That's how I got turned on to him. And then from this whole introduction to podcasts and blogs, I stumbled upon Will Richardson, who is one of the gentlemen I have in my RSS Blog Lines account. Every time something's updated in his blog, it's sent right to my blog lines, and this happens on a regular basis. This guy, he must deal with 27 hours in a day. This guy's nuts. He's always publishing and posting his thoughts and his ideas. Now, one of the things I liked about him is he put into words some of my frustrations that I'm dealing with in regards to trying to embrace technology. And a lot of people, when they hear technology, it's almost like it's a dirty word. It's replacing essential core content and core skills that teachers have. And that's not the case at all. And one of the things he mentioned in his presentation is that technology doesn't replace essential skills of the teacher. You know, technology and what's happening in today's classroom is really challenging the way we look at how we instruct our kids. And basically, he said, teachers are content experts, they're content creators, and they're content connectors. All right, and I think that's one of the things that's happened as far as I'm concerned, as I've been involved in this whole podcasting and blogging scene, is these connections that are being made, you know, not just in New York, but throughout the United States. You know, he also called us change agents, which I like, and basically challenging us to rethink and reshape, you know, how we approach teaching our students so we can enhance learning for them. Now, when Will talked about being a change agent, it reminded me of an earlier podcast I listened to from the edutopia.org website. This gentleman in California, you know, who was experimenting with technology on a regular basis, and one of his mentors said to him, the SWSWSW philosophy. And as you share these new technology with your colleagues, he basically reminded them that some will, some won't, and so what? You know, some will embrace it, some will really tap into the idea. Others will have no interest at all, and you have to move on. And the best you can do is hope for exposure, because this can be a scary realm that some people are diving into, and that lack of familiarity turns a lot of people off. My argument has always been, as I experiment with technology, if I fall on my face, at least I'm going in the right direction. And that's forward. Now, a lot of people, if they think about this as an educator and a teacher, if you explore the unknown, you're really modeling that for your students. You know, and that's really what we want to do as educators, model the learning process. If I know nothing about blogs and podcasts and wikis, then to go out there and access information and find tutorials and connect to people that do know is a skill. And that's a skill set that's going to translate beyond the school. That's lifelong learning skills. And hopefully the kids can embrace and understand that. I'm constantly reflecting to my kids as I try these new things, why and how I got to the point that I'm at. You know, why am I sharing this? Why are we trying these podcasts? Why are we doing this? And all deals with setting up for, you know, after school, you know, for once they leave the confines of the high school experience. What, some quick numbers for you. Basically, Mr. Richardson talked about the old web, as we know, which has been around for about 12 years. That happens to coincide with the duration of my teaching career. That being said, the creation of my webpage back in 1999, just based on real basic consumption of information. It's static, it's laid out there for you, there's not a lot of flash to it, but it's accessible content, which is really what I was going to. He basically talked about this transformation of what we call now as Web 2.0, and that's been around for about 3 years, and Mr. Richardson referred to that as the Read-Write Web. And basically there are about 1 million users of this Read-Write Web right now, and he says in 9 years there could be 1 billion users in a global community. And I stress that word global because of the 1 million users we have in 2005, only 23% of those come from the North American continent. All right, so there's a lot of people around the globe that are could be a step ahead of us. Basically, another cool piece of information numbers-wise is there are 40 million blogs in 2006, and there are 70,000 new blogs created every day. And there are 1.2 million posts every day. That's kind of mind-boggling. He also differentiated between a blog and a journal. And I agree with this. Blogs tend to be more intellectual content, not to sound haughty here, but it tends to be, you know, academic pursuits, people with real particular interests. While the live journaling tends to be more relegated to the adolescents who are out there kind of sharing these online diaries. It's really out there. All right, before I move on to segment number four, I just wanted to remind you that the test process can be found at my blog site, testprocess.blogspot.com. I believe there's two test processes up to date. You can check those out. For segment number four, a little fun history fact here that you may not know. April 15th was Jackie Robinson Day. Major League Baseball celebrates the anniversary of Jackie breaking the color barrier in 1947. And I had made a trip out to Cooperstown. I'm very fortunate. I'm a baseball fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. And I live not far from Cooperstown, about an hour and 20 minutes west. And the last time I went out to Cooperstown, to the Baseball Hall of Fame, there was an exhibit on World War II veterans. So that was great. All the gentlemen that played in the Major League Baseball that served the war, it was fantastic just to go around and see some of the stories they had laid out. Something caught my eye, though. Jackie Robinson's plaque, and you'll see it on my blog, his full name is Jack Roosevelt Robinson, and I know it was common to have middle names as family names, but I did a little research and I found out that Jackie Robinson was actually named, his middle name is after Teddy Roosevelt, President of the United States, who was the first president to invite an African American to the White House. Now, that African American was Booker T. Washington. So I thought that was just a fascinating little story. You know, here Booker T. is playing this role as a progressive reformer. T.R., who took a lot of heat for inviting an African-American to the White House. It's the last time he did that, by the way. He played a role in this whole thing, and his name passed on. So Jack Roosevelt Robinson. And a little addition to that story, the arch rival for the Red Sox here are the New York Yankees, and I'm a New Yorker. Being a Boston fan, that's kind of an interesting dynamic. But the current second baseman for the New York Yankees is named Robinson Cano, who is in fact named after Jackie Robinson, and I'm sure that in some way is connected to the Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. So I included some links for you on the blog to the Baseball Hall of Fame and also to Jackie Robinson Day and the Jackie Robinson Foundation. I hope you enjoy that. And I am going to send it off to my son to wrap podcast number 2 up for Making History.
Can I say whatever I want? I won't yell.
All right, say whatever you want. Go ahead.
Thanks, dude.